Blog Talk Radio.
Did you ever hire an attorney who told you, "Don't worry, I got your back," only to discover that what they really mean is, "I got your back pocket"?
And they pick your pocket, and they take your wallet, and they clean out all your hard-earned money, and they don't do anything. Have you ever sought help only to have the legal system turn against you? Are you one of the thousands victimized every day in our corrupt legal system? You're not alone. People have their rights violated, their property stolen, and find themselves locked away, isolated from friends and family, with no phone, no car, no home, no voice, and no rights to their own property every day, right here in America and throughout the world. Is there anyone holding them accountable? Is there anyone fighting back? Is there anything you can do? Isn't it time we speak out in one voice against this? If you agree, the next time you go up against the establishment arrayed against you, tell them you're not alone. Tell them you are a force to be reckoned with. Tell them they don't want to be on the wrong side of justice. You don't want to face me. Face us. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Face Us Radio, Blog Talk Radio, Hidden Truth Revealed. And this is the Inside Scoop.
Today is March 8th, 2023. My name is Luann Fleming. I am one of your co-hosts tonight. And I'm with Robin Austin. Say hello to everybody.
Hello, everybody.
And we also have Hillary is joining us. Hold on. Let me get these up on our computers. Hold on.
Hi, everyone. How are you? Welcome to the show.
Welcome, Hillary. Nice to hear you again.
Nice to have you back on. Marcy, are you with us?
I am here. Hello, America. Hello, everybody. And happy Strong Women's Day, victorious women of God that are working really, really hard to protect the most vulnerable, the elderly, the disabled, and the weak. And so
there you go.
We have really strong women. I think it's because we really have strong mothers who were righteous, and she raised strong women to combat this horrific atrocity.
You're fading in and out, Marcy.
And atrocities and crimes that are being committed in order for people to rape the estate of the elderly, make them homeless, and take away the children's inheritance. But the slavery is no longer here. It's a tyranny, and it needs to stop.
Right.
Absolutely.
Right. Marcy, I think we don't have a good connection, so see if you can get a little bit better connection. If you can. Okay.
Yeah, but I'm muted. Okay.
Okay. Okay, so
all right.
To our listeners, we are going to talk, or basically let's discuss the hidden dangers of high attorney fees. So many families in probate and family courts are coming to us asking for help. They're losing their homes and isolated from their loved ones. They're losing their children, you name it. It's all going on. And on top of all, when they try to help themselves, they face the hard reality that attorney fees can be so prohibitively expensive that even if they win, they lose. The other hard truth is that when you hire an attorney, there is no guarantee you will win anything. As a matter of fact, attorneys are pledged to serve the court, so you never gain their undivided allegiance. Any attorney who doesn't put the court's interest above their client's faces censure, reprisal, and even in some cases, disbarment. So call in and let's discuss this. I mean, don't we have a lot of issues going on with attorney fees? I know there's some good attorneys out there that are honest. They help their clients. They do whatever they can. And so let's discuss this.
You know, yeah, I feel like this is kind of a touchy area, because what we're saying is, gosh, we're overpaying these people. Well, I don't mind someone making a very good living providing a service for people.
Mm-hmm.
I think if someone is going to provide value, they should be compensated for that. What I do mind is that so often these days, what passes for providing a service for people isn't. That oftentimes attorneys these days in the courts that we hear about every day from the people who've been victimized by them, oftentimes what happens is people will go to an attorney and hire them to prepare paperwork that they expect to hold up in court that doesn't. They hire an attorney to go to court on their behalf to speak for them, to uphold their rights, and they don't.
Mm-hmm.
They hire them to accomplish some legal maneuver or other, and it doesn't get accomplished. And, you know, it's just that there's – when you hire an attorney, it's this game of craps, you know. It's this Russian roulette where you never know if you're going to actually get what you're paying for or if you're just going to get screwed. And, I mean, I hate to say that that's the case, but I've seen so much of it that it's hard for me not to say, hey, you know, what does it take to get attorneys to behave in a way that creates justice,
mm-hmm,
for the people who hire them,
exactly,
seeking justice.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's an unfortunate truth that attorneys are really unable to give their undivided allegiance,
mm-hmm,
to the person that hires them.
Right.
In other words, if you can pay an attorney however much they charge, whatever it might be, you know, anywhere from $2, you know, give me a dollar and then I'll be your attorney and then we have attorney-client privilege and then you can tell me whatever you want and I'm not going to be able to rat on you because of attorney-client privilege. You know, we've seen that kind of thing on television shows and I'm sure it happens in real life in certain situations where an attorney just says, look, all I need is a retainer of some kind and now we have a relationship that's an attorney-client privileged relationship and I can't be forced to reveal your secrets unless they're, you know, seriously breaking laws that I'm required to reveal.
Mm-hmm.
And all the way up to, you know, the attorney that says, well, this particular case is going to cost you about $7 million because blah, 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 whatever the reason, you know. And there's this huge range of what it can cost to hire an attorney and what it can be, you know, and of course they're arguing for something or other in a court, but it has become this really and truly, maybe it always was, kind of a game. I mean, after all, what do we do on a court? We play games on a court.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a tennis court is there's one game. A racquetball court is where you play racquetball, and the court that we go to for legal is a kind of racket in itself. I mean, I'll file a brief and then they'll bop that ball back with another brief that they'll file for the other side to answer my brief. Then I'll file another brief and what we, the individual who's hiring someone to go into that court, might not realize is it's a game they're playing, and there's the only winners are the court, and it's designed that way.
Mm-hmm.
And
even if you win,
Robin, to say something on that, I picked up on that when I was going through it, because here were my parents working so hard and putting every penny away, and there are these judges that are approving all these extraordinary attorney fees. And I'm thinking, what? And he's not even doing what's right for my men. So I felt like you're saying I called it a merry-go-round, an up and down. And it's like they took they took the topic, one topic, and they exhausted it so they can all make a fee out of it. And when I picked up on that, then they changed it and picked something else. And it's a game to exploit the elderly. And what benefit is that for the elderly and their family? Of course, they see it as a benefit for them, and to twist it and flip it around like a pancake in order to tag on the attorney's fees till they just raise the estate, and that's a elderly, and that's what they do. But they're not all bad. There are some ethical attorneys and there are some ethical judges, but I tell you, to find them, now that's like weeding out the weeds so you can find one flower, you know.
It's like the princess trying to find her prince and kissing a whole lot of frogs.
Yeah, you have to kiss a lot of frogs before you find your prince. It's the same kind of concept, but they're playing with people's lives, okay?
They are.
They're playing with the elderly. They're playing with our mothers and some of them their fathers. And then if you're a good son, like Roger Hillaris, who listens to his mother, of course she's going to want to be with him. Then he's the bad guy. Can't raise the estate anymore. And they're all working in cahoots because they have to, you know, do that in order to survive and make a dirty business, because it's a dirty business. Anyone that'll do that to an elderly, it's not from God, I can tell you that.
And that is what I think we all agree that that's what we object to. There's no one on this radio show, not a single one of our hosts, and very rarely any of our guests, that would argue that we're against any ethical or morally upright person who's working on behalf of another in the courts of law. Anytime we see a judge who is ruling in a way that it looks like justice is being served, we applaud it. Anytime we see an attorney that is honestly striving to do right for their clients, we applaud them and support them and invite them. You know, we try to give them a public forum, say, come on our radio show and talk about what it's like to be an honest attorney. And you know what it's like to be an honest attorney? It's like this. You're up against a crime syndicate that will do everything in their power to drive you out of the business, take you down, destroy not only you, but your life if you can. Whatever it takes.
They do that.
To destroy you, they will do. And that's, I have many, many people that are sort of personal friends that, you know, almost because they've been guests on our radio show. We've gotten to know each other a little bit. And I have a great compassion and sympathy for those that are in the legal profession, and they got in because they said, you know what, I can do some good here because I can really stand up for the underdog. I can really stand up for people that really need the help. I can do some real good. And then they discover, no, if you try to honest to God, do some real good, then you are in the minority.
Then you're
going to
put us out of business, and you're not good.
Right.
That's what they think, and then you're going
to
put us out of business. So, no.
Then we're going to spank you hard and drive you out of business. We're going to take your, you know, we'll have your law license. And that's what, I mean, I look at it, and it's happening every day in this country, where excellent attorneys, really top-notch people, are absolutely maliciously attacked, not only professionally, but also personally, by those that are basically criminals masquerading in our court system as though they're there to do some good, when really they're just there to rob people, but they don't want the honest attorneys in the courtroom because it prevents them from robbing people.
Right. And it's just recently today I've got the notice from Philip Ross that he has resigned as an attorney. He is no longer practicing attorney. And so that was kind of sad news for us because he was such a maverick down in Texas. And he was forced out because of some lieu of disciplinary actions they say he caused. And, you know, I don't buy any of that stuff. I'm just saying that we've done this for so long that I feel that he had no choice. They're coming after him just like they've done like 15 or other attorneys that we know of personally, you know, that are having issues with the courts and the justice system like we are. But we're going to try to get him up onto our radio show in the next few weeks anyway and talk to him about
it. Well, I would like to hear his story.
Right,
about that,
and,
you know,
right. And I think we'll get Leslie Puerto Rico in with him too as well. I think both of them would be able to talk on these on the subject. Anyway, that's what our show is tonight. You know, we've had a lot of families come to us lately, and they talk about how some of these they hire an attorney, they put a retainer down of $5,000 or $10,000. And they said within a month or 6 weeks later, these attorneys want another $10,000, $5,000, $15,000. They put that down, and they still have gone nowhere in the court case. And I tell people over and over again that this can be expected. And sometimes you can keep giving money, and sometimes you will not even talk to them. Or even if you do call the office, they are billing you in increments of like 6 minutes for 15-minute calls. So you remember, some of these attorneys charge up to $450 an hour. And then some of these other attorneys that come in, they're charging $350 an hour. Some of them are $200 an hour. And sometimes you could have as many as five attorneys on one case. So do the math. That's quite an expensive day.
Well, and, you know, the other part of the
issue. Usually, I was
going to
say that Dr. Sam Sugar did a study on that. And usually the guardianship, he said, 5 years. They're going to go around the merry-go-round, and then you're going to change attorneys, and they're going to flip it. And it's usually five or six attorneys. And so that's what they do. And then they all got the, it's a plan. They plan it out in order to deplete the estate and keep it going, mm-hmm. and then blame it on family dysfunction that has nothing to do with protecting the elderly. That is just a little game that they have going. You know, that's what happened in my mother's case. You know, they mm-hmm. go on a merry-go-round.
Right.
Dr. Sam Sugar did a study on that, and maybe, Luann, you can contact him and see what mm-hmm. the statistics are.
I'd like to know that myself. I know that in our family, we hired this one attorney out in Denver. The original trust attorneys came in, and we went to them for help saying, hey, we got some issues going on. Well, $50,000 later, they went after our property, you know. And it was sad. Mm-hmm. It was sad to see them go. And that was just by talking to them. And they kept making mistakes saying that, oh, well, you know, it's going to be another nine more weeks for these people to put in your accounting and another nine more weeks for more accounting. And this went on for about a year.
Yeah.
6 months.
It's a merry-go-round.
We had no idea mm-hmm. this was going to happen. We had no idea, and they kept wanting money, and we just said, you know, we got to fire you guys. We can't take this no more. And it was really sad. And
you know, once you fire them, then
they're mad.
Then they go to the judge and say, gosh, judge, they fired us, but they owe us another $72,000 or $50,000. You know, it's
horrifying.
That's really one of the things that I look at that I have a real kind of a pick a bone with them about is the idea that you've got somebody that is forced into court, you know, in these probate courts oftentimes. And when you have a guardianship case, you have someone who's under the control of the court. Their life is taken control of. There's a court-appointed person that goes and grabs them out of their home and locks them up.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's a court-appointed person, might be the same one, that goes, takes an inventory of everything they own and starts selling it as hard and fast as they can mm-hmm. and taking that money to pay themselves and their friends. and then the court will appoint another attorney to be a guardian ad litem, so that they have, so they are properly protected under the law. Their rights are being protected now.
We had six attorneys.
Now you've got a guardian protecting the person, a guardian ad litem protecting their rights, and then a family member comes and says, "Hey, this is ridiculous. We look after mom. There's no need for any of this. I want to tell the court, you know, I'm going to petition the court and say, hey," and the court says, "Well, you better go get an attorney." So they come in and hire an attorney to petition the court to say, "Hey, this is a lot of nonsense. Mom doesn't need any of this. What mom needs is to live with me and my sister. You know, we'll look after her, and we always have, and that's how it should be." And so now you've got three attorneys involved. And now what happens next is the guardian hires an attorney on your mother's dime. Remember, they've got all of your mother's money, all of your mother's property, yeah, and they're selling it just as quick as they can. And the guardian hires an attorney. The guardian ad litem hires an attorney.
Yeah, there
Now you've got, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 attorneys involved, and they all know, that they're going to be paid, because it's not up to you, it's not up to your mother, it's up to the judge to say, yes, I authorize the payment of all these attorneys every time they think they're doing something on behalf of somebody that is defending this poor aged person that has come to the court because they need protection from being exploited. Now we're protecting them to the tune of about, $5,000 to $7,000 an hour, because we got all these attorneys involved. And that is what causes the depletion of the assets and the estate
that rightfully belong to
the mother's children and the mother's family, who she saved all her life to provide for, who she wants to give it to.
Right.
And
kind of like the attorneys become the heirs of the family's estate.
They supplant the heirs. Mm-hmm. They're interlopers. They move into the position of the heirs, and they take over everything, and they take it all.
And then when you're not expecting it, here comes two or three more bills coming to your house, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70,000. Before you know it, they're talking about selling your home to pay for these attorney fees.
Right.
I've heard it so many times. I'd say 15 people have talked to us in the last couple of months saying they're trying to take my home away. What do I do? And I don't know. But then they raise fees on those. And before you know it, your home is like $300,000 off of $50,000 home, because all these fees are piling up in every direction, and they will not hesitate to sell your home. Period. Go ahead.
Thank you for If I could interject, there was, and I think I texted to you, Luann, and obviously share it with Robin and the world. There was an article that sent me. I didn't even know it was out, and it has to do with the public guardianship program in Dade County, Florida, and it was basically about property being sold, pennies on the dollar, money that should be going to help that person for the rest of their life, that there are never accurate appraisals filed. It's never put on MLS on the open market, and it is never sold to the highest bidder, because it's always sold to an LLC. And Marcy can elaborate. And we've known this. Anyone that researches guardianship, anyone that knows anything about the ins and out about guardianship, and I'll say I believe it's throughout the country, knows about the real estate situation, which the elderly, it's usually their biggest asset. They've worked, they've paid their mortgage, and that's one thing that they can be so happy about, is that they own property. They're put into a guardianship. It is sold. And again, I just don't see why a law cannot be passed in guardianship courts that anything over $50,000, maybe less, but $50,000, we'll just say tonight, that it has to be listed on the open market, and there has to be an appraisal, and it has to be sold for as much as possible. And you would think that the guardian and the guardian's attorney would be into it, because wouldn't they want that person, that ward, unfortunately, as they're called, to get as much money as they could? But
Talking about, Bo, is kind of cutting down on and putting out of business the insider trading that we know really is going on.
Mm-hmm.
And for that reason, I think, no, they're not going to want that at all, because it stopped them. And I think what you would see if you did set that up is a whole lot of homes that would sell for $49,000 or less. Because as soon as you say, if it's worth $50,000 or more, then it has to be put on the open market. All of a sudden, homes that were $500,000, $800,000, $300,000, $400,000 are going to go for $49,000. Because if they say they're worth $50,000, then they've got to bring them into the open market and sell them for what they're really worth, when they can basically just skip over that and stick it right into the pipeline of LLCs that are owned by them and their buddies, and then, you know, sell it for $40,000, $48,000, $49,000, and just say, oh, yeah, it was a mess, Your Honor. We had to sell it for that. And,
well,
and then their friend, of course, or their LLC.
And you look at, yes. And you look at Jan Garwood. I mean, that's the perfect definition of real estate gone wrong in guardianships. Jan Garwood's home was sold to the administrator of the facility where Jan was held against her will, to the admin's daughter. When Jan was put into the facility, Palms of Longwood, on the guardian, who was removed as a guardian in Florida, can no longer take cases, the first thing that she did was take that administrator to Jan's home with her daughter, under the pretense of collecting toiletries and, you know, towels and sheets for Jan at the facility, which no one does. And lo and behold, I believe less than 6 months, Jan's home, with the judge's blessing, was sold for, I think, $225,000, and it was worth at the time double. And fast forward 2 years, the mortgage could have been no more than $1,500 a month, and they couldn't pay their mortgage, and now it's in a pre-foreclosure. And, you know, so it's insanity. And but it was great to see that article. It was like, I mean, talk about validating. It was just unbelievable. But one thing that we have to talk about attorney fees, the fact that in Florida, at least, if you are a court-appointed attorney, if you are appointed on a guardianship case to represent the alleged incapacitated person or defendant, as they're also known, that you will not make one dime in many courts, in many circuits, you will not make a penny unless a guardianship is initiated and that person is put into guardianship. Isn't that like just thinking about that? No one has, you are behind the eight ball. And if you want to hire your own attorney, if you have the sanity to even think about it in one of the worst situations in your life, you will have a hard time hiring an outsider to represent you. So that's something else that has to change.
Yeah.
No,
oh, my God.
What a picture. What a picture we're painting. It's very painful.
And you know something?
Yeah.
Yeah. And you know, Robin and Luann and Marcy, I remember at one of the Guardianship Improvement Task Force meetings where the members were, you know, judges, lawyers, veterans affairs, you know, people who say that they're knowledgeable on guardianship. Well, I brought that up. And all of them said, oh, no, that's not the case. And lo and behold, Magistrate Sean Cadigan from Tampa, Hillsboro. He said very quietly, he said it though, he goes, excuse me, I'm going to have to agree with Ms. Hogue on this one.
Yeah. There you go.
He is right.
Oh, my God.
You know,
yeah.
They do not get paid unless there is a guardianship. I'm like, oh, God.
And Hillary, how many times have we been on Zoom calls where the judge is telling, these people are calling up for their attorney fees, and some of these fees are like $172,000, $90,000, $80,000, $240,000. It's like, are you kidding me? That's more money than I've made in years. You know?
Let me tell you something. Before I knew anything about this underworld, when someone said, oh, yeah, how much did that cost? And they would say, oh, I think it was 20. I would say, okay, it's $20. They must be thinking about. In guardianship world, when someone says 20, it's 20,000 that they're talking about.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Everything is it depends on the firm, some more than others, but I mean, we are talking about entries of 800, 1500 to go to a hearing, and it's this is in the best interest of the ward. It is,
yeah.
And no one bites back to say, this is too much.
Exactly, and that's the problem we have, is that I think that the serious part is hiring an attorney, and then you're getting ready to go to a court case, and they say, well, we're going to have to postpone this, or I'm going to be out of town, or sometimes I've had so many complaints that the attorneys just take money and they leave. They don't even represent the client, and if you can't get any money back. I think there should be some kind of a some way that we can all get reinstated or reprimanded some of this money back or something. I mean, what's it called when you some kind of guarantee of something?
Because I know exactly what you're talking about.
You know what I mean?
I've talked to a lot of people who have hired attorneys, and they discuss the case with the attorney, and they think they have an attorney.
Yeah.
And then, you know, a day before or the day of court, the attorney says, you know what, I'm not going to court for you.
That's what happened to this lady out in Nebraska that I talked to a few weeks ago. Her husband's being isolated, and if anybody's from Nebraska, let me know. Please call me. Get a hold of me at faithsradio@hotmail.com. But they have this lady's husband, and I'm telling you, it's sad because she hired an attorney to represent her to go see her husband, and the attorney never represented her. And she's like, what am I going to do now? And I could hear this scared tone in her voice. And this lady is like in her 60s. I mean, that's my age, for Christ's sake. This is a scary situation we're going through. And all that this lady wants to do is see her husband, and that's it. And she can't get any attorney, more attorneys, to represent her. I think it's a crime. I think it's really a crime what's going on.
Well,
anyway.
And you know something? It is, sorry to interrupt you, it is
go ahead. It's
career suicide in probate to represent honest people like us. I mean, all we want is to help our families. I mean, if you want to bridge the subject matter tonight a little bit from the get-go, I mean, you look at this three-member examining committee, you know, down here in Florida. It's like the same people. I mean, they've been doing it so long. It's like, who is the alleged incapacitated, the examiner or my mother? You know, it's just like, it's crazy. There are no blood, there's no physical exam, there's no blood drawn to see if maybe there's UTIs, thyroidism. The first thing is done is your primary care doctor that you've been using for decade after decade is just thrown to the wayside for, you know, one of the insiders. And it's just, you know, For Luann, Marcy, and Robin and I, and many, many others who basically we don't have a horse in the race or a dog in the fight. Either our parents have died in guardianship or we were lucky enough to get them out, the few and the far between. But what we have seen and experienced and hear about on a daily basis is just too much for us. We would be riddled with guilt if we walked away from the injustices that are happening to innocent victims. I mean, I was at this little Italian market, and I'm going to be quiet after this for a few minutes before I
don't share.
I was in this little Italian market. I drove to a Palm Beach this weekend after I visited this older lady, and this older man, he must have snapped at the woman behind the counter, and she started yelling at him, saying, "Listen, you, don't yell at me. Who are you to be yelling?" Basically nothing. In New York, that would be like a greeting, a nice greeting. But I looked and I said, this is really nothing in comparison to what is going on as we speak in guardianship to, we don't even know, because everyone is behind a locked door, and we cannot get in. So there is a case, and I'm not going to go through it, but there, the gentleman is in guardianship, and now his wife is going to be put in guardianship. They have a friend that is trying to help. This morning she says, I feel so helpless not being able to help my two friends who have committed absolutely no crime. And the gentleman is, you know, her friend, we'll call him Al. Al is going crazy. He wants to go to the Supreme Court. He feels he might be able to get justice. And then here it comes. I'm going to text Adam Walzer today at 11. I mean, the fact that we are relying on news media, on Adam Walzer, God love him. And
God love him.
We cannot rely on government entities to help us, veterans, elderly. It is just astonishing, and not in a good way. It is deplorable. And in all honesty, I can't help this woman and her friends. It's just, what do you say to people that are hustled into the situation? Because we're dealing with lawyers that have been doing this for decades, judges that have been doing this for decades, and you know, it's crazy.
Yeah, I agree with you. And
with impunity. They've been doing it for decades because there's just no one holding them responsible.
There's nobody.
And when a person goes for decades and they're on the fringe, you know, I mean, it would seem to me that if you were in one of these courts and you're making all these rulings that are just destroying people, taking their lives, taking their homes, really taking their lives. I mean, because you steal their identity and put a so-called representative in place. You steal their home. You steal their bank accounts. You lock them away from their family. You take away their social life. And then when you're finished with them, you kill them because you're done with them and they're useless to you. So you just move them into hospice, put them on a schedule, cut off their food, cut off their water, drug them to death, and you're done with them. That's bad. And
that's so sad.
They do this week after week, month after month, year after year for decades. And after a while, I can understand how they would just not have, they would be out of touch with the reality that what you're doing is a horrible sin. It is a terrible crime. It is morally reprehensible.
Yeah.
You are absolutely just as horrific a criminal as any other mass murderer, as any other person who wholesale buys and sells people. You know, when we think of human trafficking, we all have kind of this idea of like, oh, people from some other country are told, yes, we're going to give you freedom. Then they're loaded onto a truck and driven across a border somewhere and sold into slavery and used for sex or whatever. But we don't really have this idea of it's happening right in the courtrooms in America.
Yeah, that's the problem. And you know what? The problem that we face is that there is no accountability.
Right.
There is nobody. You can't go to the Department of Justice. You can't go to the mayor. You can't go to the governor. You
go
can't
to the FBI.
You
They'll
can go
tell
to the legislators.
Yeah, thank you for bringing it to our attention, but
yeah.
We move slowly. And 12 years later, nothing has been done. You
right.
go to the Department of Justice. Yeah, well, thank you for bringing that to our attention. Sure, we'll look into it. You go to the Attorney General. Oh, you bet. I'm glad you told us about that. You go to senators. Well, we'll try to pass some legislation about that.
This just goes on and on.
We've done all of those things, so I'm not just talking out of turn here. I'm telling you how it really is. They'll all tell you, gosh, we're glad you told us, and then it's business as usual.
Yeah, and that's why we created these radio shows, to educate people. We want them to know that even if you've created a trust or a will or powers of attorney, this all can happen to you. You can still end up in any probate court. You just need to put a lot of bumps in the road. And so that's what we're talking about today, is the hidden dangers of attorney fees. We're going to keep talking about this tonight on a radio show. We're going to invite families to come on and talk to us tonight if they'd like, if they've been in a situation like this or anything they want to talk about tonight. We're going to basically do an open mic night. So the number to do that is to call in, and the number is 845-241-9962. And this show is scheduled for an hour and a half tonight, so I just want everybody to know we've got 48 minutes to do that. Anyway.
So if you have a question or comment,
and
845-241-9962. If you push a 1, that will raise your hand and let us know that you have a question or a comment that you'd like to be part of this conversation, and we'll bring you into chat with you.
Right. We do have a caller, a 618 number, 618. You're live with us tonight on Faceless Radio.
Welcome to the show.
Welcome.
Thank you very much. Dennis Andrew Ball. Thank you, Luann, for inviting me to contact the show tonight. It's very good what I'm listening to. Obviously, we are in a crisis. It's been going on for a long time. Something must change for this to change. And I'm very active politically, socially, academically, in addressing these problems and solutions. The solutions are important. As we spoke earlier today in my own show, The Campaign for America, Marcy Friedman recently, today actually, was pre-recorded for next week's show. And I believe we're going to have you on the following week's show. And so that's exciting to me. You bet.
Right, that'd be great. Hillary Hogue will be joining us if you'd like to, Hillary. She's been a huge advocate with us, as well as Marcy. And thank you for calling in. You know, we talked earlier today, and we could not agree more with you about the problems that we're having, you know, in our courts today, families with children. The children are being taken away. You know, parents' states are being taken away. So much corruption in our courtrooms, and there's no accountability. What do you have to say about that?
That's a good question. I want you to know that after graduating from the University of California at San Diego in La Jolla, California in 1973, I went to law school for 6 months in San Diego. And I started reading a lot of law books. And one of the books that I latched onto was a book about bankers. And bankers, I was only 22 years old at that time. I'm 71 now, so that's been a long time. But the situation was, for me, I started reading about how bankers were targeting little old ladies for their money and property when their husbands died, the widows. And I put my mother and father in that position because they were World War II Depression children who did well after World War II. And I thought to myself, if I became an attorney, I would have to become engaged in a law firm. Because when you come out of law school, you're not just going to open up an office and have your shingle on the wall. You're going to have to build a clientele. I recognized that then as well. And I said, this is what I would have to probably do to satisfy the partners in the firm. And I said, I cannot do this. I will not do this. I will not hurt any woman for her money and property after her husband died. That's their money and property. That's their domicile. That it belongs to them. It doesn't belong to the bank nor anybody else unless they're so far in arrears that they cannot resolve whatever conflicts there are. But to purposely target women for their money and property, including at that time, I wasn't as aware of it now than I am now, but nursing homes, to put them in nursing homes and lock them up like they're criminals.
Mm-hmm.
I said, this is not right. I said, there's no way. And so I withdrew from law school, and I was elected the president of my class. I said, I'm sorry, I cannot do this. And, you know, that was a turning point in my life at 22. And as a consequence, I moved forward in my beliefs that there had to be something better for me than going out and shaking people for money. And that has been the theme of my life. It has continued to be the theme in my life. And it has been very good for me to have that experience at a young age to try and navigate my life in a way that would make it possible to benefit others from
yeah.
the corruption that we are experiencing now.
We want to talk about, and we've got another 30 minutes or so to talk about some of this, but we've also are going to ask you to come on to our show next Wednesday to talk more of this in depth about, you know, about what's going on in our society. You know, and I know that you had a mom that was, or one of your parents that was put into a guardianship or had their estate taken. So you understand how all this works out. But when you talk about how you didn't want to shake these people for their wallets and all that, that's what they're doing today. So this has been going on for how many years? You know, this has been going on. Why didn't my family know about any of this stuff 15 years ago? That's why, you know, my dad did a lot of research. He never heard anything about how attorneys are coming in and taking people's trust and their trust funds and, you know, none of this. We didn't know any of this, Ross. We would have never created a trust to begin with. Why wasn't this being told to people? You know, that's the big question
I
have.
That's right. And I'm happy to talk more about this on another show because I am running for president of the United States. And
mm-hmm.
I have confirmed and affirmed this through my writings. I'm not a politician. I'm a scholar. And I have mm-hmm. dissected and researched and got down to the nitty-gritty of what needs to change and how to do that. Rather than bitching and moaning about all the problems, I come up with solutions so that the people
mm-hmm.
can be affirmed and can be vilified and cause a reaction within the system, the society we live in, that will hold these bastards accountable and see that justice is served on them and reparations are made to us who have been damaged
mm-hmm.
and whose families have been murdered.
Right. Have you,
this is nothing
have you
less.
Been in contact at all, Dennis, have you been in contact at all with Belinda Parker Brown and the Zena Crenshaw AUI? I know she passed away, but Belinda Parker
yes.
Brown talks a lot about the corruption that goes on and how they're trying to fill the shoes, you know, with Zena being gone. Are you in touch with their organization at all, with Belinda Parker Brown?
I did contact, left her a message to call me. I haven't heard from her. She's down there in New Orleans, I believe, in Louisiana, and I've been down there. I've campaigned in Louisiana, okay? And there is a U.S. Attorney's Office down there that I've been in contact with as well.
Mm-hmm.
And they are the closest I have found of any law enforcement agency who acknowledges there is a problem.
Uh-huh.
And as a consequence of this, outside of Sidney Powell and Peter Strasser, those are two people who I would nominate to be Attorney General of the United States, especially Sidney Powell. My
uh-huh.
attitude is, these people must be held accountable. Guantanamo Bay, Cuba, Delta Camp is where I would
mm-hmm.
put many people. Abraham Lincoln arrested judges under Title 18, right. Section 241-242. There has to be something very strong and powerful to put and send a shockwave through the judicial system. Patrick Henry was afraid of the things that are going on by ratifying the Constitution that the judiciary would hide behind it. And that's what's happened here. They are hiding mm-hmm. behind the Constitution and immunity from prosecution.
Right.
That has
right.
got to change.
So you said that you are and I'm going to save a lot of this information for the next week's show, but you said you're going to be running for president. What do you feel about that?
President.
I mean, I would like to run for president, but I don't think I can stand the stress. But you know what I mean?
Yeah.
What entitles you to do
I'm
that?
Scholar.
I mean, I think it's interesting that you said that.
Well, like I said, I did not become an attorney. I am a trustee. I'm actually a court official. I was appointed by the bankruptcy court in Arizona, in Maricopa County, when all
mm-hmm.
this went down on my mother. And I
mm-hmm.
threw her estate into bankruptcy, and the court assigned me after I fired Morgan Stanley.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very good at doing what needs to get done when it needs to get done. I'm a gap person, and
right.
I hold people accountable. And with respect to the bankruptcy case, I have filed liens against defendants,
mm-hmm.
15 of them at this time, $1 million and more, including indemnification
right.
surcharges if they wish. And as a result, I'm in the process right now of foreclosing on those liens, which means attorneys will have to file complaints in the bankruptcy court, possibly in district court, to reap compensation, if not in front of a jury. And if they don't want these cases referred to the Justice Department for criminal prosecution, they're
mm-hmm.
going to have to pay their way out with me. Otherwise,
right.
it's on.
Right.
I'm not playing
and
here.
I...
people.
Yeah. So you've been doing this kind of stuff since you're like 22. Has it gotten worse? Is it about the same? What do you think about that?
Well, I think it's a crisis. And I think
mm-hmm.
it's been this way for some time. People don't know what to do. As a consequence,
mm-hmm. yeah.
who do you go to? Just you've said it tonight. Where do you go? I almost think it's probably better not to have an attorney. All they do is take your money and leave you high and dry in many cases. And your loved ones are still at risk. We're at risk. Like I said,
yeah.
this is
yeah.
a problem that impacts all of us. And, you know, in terms of vetting these problems and communicating what to do about them, this is why I'm here. And I've written 62
right.
titles on Amazon.com to address the problems. That's why I know I can be president of the United States.
Right. That's crazy, you know. And I think about the big job that presidents have to do, and the one we have now. I don't see him looking into any of this stuff. You know, a lot of people are complaining. There's stories of the Britney Spears. What's going on? You know, now there's that Star Trek lady, you know, that was on Star Trek. They're going after her fortunes. All kinds of stuff going on. And nobody in this country talks about it unless us advocates talk about it. I think that's a crime. I really do. What do you think, Robin?
I think, you know, I think when Britney Spears was in guardianship and trying to get out, it was one of the best things that happened for advocates in this country ever, because the way that the whole guardianship system works,
mm-hmm.
the guardians are protected by the judges, and the judges, the way that the guardians are protected by the judges, once you're in front of a judge, oftentimes, I mean, I've heard from numerous people
mm-hmm.
about gag orders.
Right.
And and the judge will suppress your ability to speak about what goes on in these courtrooms. So you have a guardian who is, you know, not really taking care of the person that they're supposed to be taking
but
care
don't
of.
Don't dare talk about them.
And you have a conservator
you know.
That may or may not be the same person that is doing nothing except cleaning them out and robbing them of everything and selling everything and divvying it up with the court officials. And you have a person who's looking at this going, wait a minute, that's my mom. Don't abuse my mother. Hey, wait a minute, that's my inheritance. Don't be taking my inheritance. Hey, wait a minute. And they go to the court, and the court says, no. You don't have anything to do with this. You're not even an interested party. We think you're the one that is abusing your mother because you expect to get something out of her. That's why we've assigned her a guardian and a conservator.
So
you can't abuse her anymore by, you know, buying babies for your daughter who's her grandbaby that she bought the diapers for because she loves her grandbaby.
Right.
You know, we're not going to let that happen anymore. Your days of abusing your family are over,
yeah,
buddy. You know, and all of a sudden you're on your heels. They're pushing you. And so you go on the internet and you say, has anybody else experienced anything like this? It's crazy. They've stolen my mother. She's got bruises on her face, on her arms, on her legs. She's lost 40 pounds in 40 days.
And I'm being kicked out of my home.
I'm being kicked out of my home.
Uh-huh.
And then the judge says, if you do not take down this information from the internet, then you are expected to pay $5 million,
mm-hmm,
you know,
and gag order money,
you know, and you will be held in contempt of court, blah, blah, blah. And this is why for all these years,
mm-hmm,
this whole scam that's been going on has been squelched because the people that are subjected to it are also pushed down when they try to speak.
I could not speak about
it. And of course,
my mom.
The people to whom it's happening are gagged with drugs. You know,
yeah,
you can't. If you're on 7 different kinds of psychotropic medications, you're not able to stand up and say, "Excuse me, but there's a real problem here."
Yeah.
And even if you were allowed, which you're not,
right,
because once you have a guardian, the guardian is your representative in court.
Yeah.
You're not permitted to go to
the
court.
The person that doesn't
you're not
have
permitted
your best
to
interest.
Speak. You know, they're supposed to be, you're defending your best interest.
They're not.
But what they're really doing is just owning you as a piece of property and using you, squeezing all the juice, throwing away the husk.
That's
horrifying.
Exactly it. So this is what we're going to do. We are going to, Dennis, we're going to actually bring you on next week, okay? You're going to be our guest next
uh-huh
week because we want to get more into depth about what happened to,
yes,
you know,
to your family.
And we want to talk more about the presidential campaign and get your thoughts on a lot more issues coming on. So I thought, and then we'll be going on one of your shows and we'll post all that stuff too as well. And then we'll talk more of this depth. But in the meanwhile, I think I'm going to give all the other advocates an extra half an hour off or an hour off tonight. We're going to end the radio show early tonight. So that's what we want to do. And we'll be bringing you back next week. We will get your all your information, and we will be posting that next week. Also, the week after that, I'm either going to be doing a show. Jody White wanted to come back with some people out in, I think it's in Michigan, to talk about some issues going on in there. And we just got in contact with Phil Ross. He's going to be coming back onto our show to talk about what happened to him and why he is not an attorney anymore. So that's
good.
Going to be coming on
awesome
in the next 2 to 3 weeks. And
right,
if you want to come onto our radio show, you have a story to tell, or you have something that's going in your favor into one of these courts, give us a jingle here at FaceUs Radio, FaceUs Radio at hotmail.com, and we'll be glad to talk to you. So do that. And remember, you can find us on Twitter. You can find us on Facebook, Families Against Court Embezzlement, Unethical Standards FaceUs. And you can find me, Loanne Fleming, anywhere on there, Hillary Hogue, Robin Austin, Marcy Friedman. We're all on Facebook, so you can find us there as well. Anyway, Marcy had to go earlier, and we wanted to give her hugs and thank you for coming on. Same thing with you, Hillary. Thank you for coming on as well. And
looking forward to having you as our guest next week, Mr. Ball, and Luann and Robin, another great show.
Right.
Right.
I just
wanted
to let Hillary know, I am coming to Florida. We're going to have rallies at the airports, and we are moving this forward all over the country. It's time, folks. We have got to get this to change. And that means people
absolutely
like yourselves getting educated. As far as I'm concerned, running for office to support the family, it is important. That has been such a topic of last resort in this country. But the family is the basic unit of society, and how it goes the culture. Obviously, it has changed radically since the end of World War II. I'm 71 years old. I've never seen, and of course I didn't see until now, just how bad it is. And the hearsay that is being used as gospel in courts is outrageous. There are no trials for any accusations. It's just understood whether it's true or not and used against us. And so that's a problem.
Absolutely.
Exactly. Well, that's very well said. And, you know, we'll be bringing you back on next week. So I hope all of you listeners tune in next week. Without you guys, we could not be doing this show. You've been great to us. These shows have gone international. We have people listening to us in all parts of the world listening to us. It's amazing.
When we look at how many.
Right. It's fabulous. So to all the people that are isolated, we love you. We are with you. We are fighting for you.
We
are with your voice.
We speak loud and clear because we know you can't.
And I want to say I love to my mama. She's still there with us every day, every hour, every minute. She's still with us. Justice requires transparency and accountability, and giving up is not an option, right?
That's right.
Okay, we will see everybody again next week. So
thank you for joining
us. Thank you for joining
us
tonight.
We appreciate you. God bless us.
Thank you for
joining us. We're going to put kettles in the courtroom, everybody. Here we go.
Here we go.
Here we go.
We have devils in the courtroom.